it ain't no half-stepping. The party is live, the rhyme can't be kept inside of me. It's erupted just like a volcano. It ain't the everyday style or the same old rhyme, cause I'm better than the rest of them. Every B is on the cut, and my name is Rakim.
Hello everybody, here we are back at it again for the seventh show of Combo Breaker, your most worthy video game talk show here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. And as always, I am your host, DJ 1UP. And I have some very exciting and wonderful content for all of you listeners today. Last week, if you tuned in, I gotta say, I'm so sorry. Came down with a sickness and had to nurse my throat back to life, pretty much. And now I'm here. You might hear my voice crack a little bit because I'm still recovering a little bit, but I gotta give a quick shout out to the Capamilia Filipino American Association Club here at Dominican. We went out to Fullerton and won first place in friendship games, and something that our club and I, DJ 1UP, am very proud of. So shout out to Capamilia, shout out to Dominican for giving us the opportunity to go out there and do our thing. And shout out to everybody listening right now. You are awesome, and I can't thank you enough for being here, giving your time to me. So we got an hour together. We got a lot to go over. This week's video game is another video game series, actually. And thankfully, it's not like Assassin's Creed where there's maybe 8 main series games, and if you add all the spin-offs, there's about 15. This series of games is actually 2 video games, and rumored to have a third, but the third has to this day eluded many of its fans. As always, I'm playing the background music from the video game, so if you are a huge video game fanatic and you've played a bunch of video games in your lifetime, then you probably already know what game I'm going to be talking about. But if you don't, then you're going to be super surprised, and I hope you continue to tune in because it's going to be a great day talking about video games. This is, I gotta say, just to prep you up for this video game real quick, this game, I didn't know anything about it before picking it up. I went to GameStop when I was a wee 10-year-old, and I saw the cover for this game, and I thought to myself, wow, that's really cool, you know. On the cover, there is a guy holding a wrench and a girl holding a sword, and you could see this helicopter-like figure in the background, and that's in the upper right background, and in the bottom left background, you could see this huge train. So, wow, that was a very descriptive, that was a good description of the cover. I'm staring at it right now, and I'm really proud of how I described that. So, before we move on and I reveal to you what game we're talking about, let's go into video game news. Usually every week, if you're a first-time listener, every week I do video game news based on the video game that I am going to talk about for the week. But since this video game is a very old video game, there hasn't been much news surrounding it in the past maybe almost a couple, maybe 5 years, there hasn't been any news about it. Maybe in the last decade there hasn't been any news about it. When I went to go look for some content, I told myself there might be some news out there about this game, but lo and behold, there isn't. So we'll save the introduction of the game We'll go on with that in just a couple minutes here, but for now, we'll go into video game news. And for video game news this week, I have some very important video game releases for November 2016. To all my listeners who might be international, these release dates will apply to North America, the United States specifically. And so below or here we'll find some of the big video game releases for the month of November 2016. A lot of these games are highly anticipated. They're sequels to huge video game series, and one in particular that I've been talking about constantly. I've probably talked about it in more shows than I have any other topic, but we'll get into it right now. On November 4th, Call of Duty Infinite Warfare is going to be releasing for PlayStation 4, Windows PC, and Xbox One. This is going to be an Infinity Ward Call of Duty, and the latest entry in the Call of Duty series, set out to explore the core themes present in war movie classics Saving Private Ryan and Black Hawk Down. Also coming with the game will be a remastered version of the original Call of Duty Modern Warfare. That's Call of Duty 4, and it will be available in the Legacy, Digital Legacy, Legacy Pro, and Digital Deluxe editions of Call of Duty Infinite Warfare. And console users buying the Legacy or Legacy Pro edition must keep their disc if they want to play it. So that's interesting. A lot of my friends were talking about buying Infinite Warfare, and then simply downloading the new Modern Warfare Remastered Edition, and then selling their Infinite Warfare disc. But sorry guys, it looks like you're going to have to be keeping your Infinite Warfare disc in order to continue playing Modern Warfare Remastered. Also on November 4th, Mario Party Star Rush coming out for the Nintendo 3DS. Big fan of Mario Party. Mario Party has been one of my favorite games. It definitely ruins friendships though for temporary amounts of time. It depends how vulgar you get during the session of Mario Party, but for the most part, it's a temporary thing. Just don't take Mario Party too seriously. So this is going to be a new entry to the Mario Party series. It's going to be on the Nintendo 3DS, which is interesting. We've seen a bunch of console video games being thrown into the Nintendo 3DS recently. I think it was last year or early this year, they released a Super Smash Bros. For Nintendo 3DS. And to be honest, I only saw that on console, so pretty excited to see how Mario Party transfers over to a handheld device. On November 8th, we have Harvest Moon Skytree Village coming out on Nintendo 3DS. For those not familiar with the Harvest Moon series, it is a game where you are tasked to be a farmer, but at the same time, you have the role of upgrading things in your town. It's sort of like living a life out in the country. Imagine what that would be like, a country town. The last Harvest Moon I played was for the GameCube, and in that game I was able to get married. You're able to court women, so that's where, you know, I got my practice and all that. But you're able to court women, you're able to plant your crops, you're able to get married, you're able to raise chickens, cows, all of that. Another cool thing about Harvest Moon was their mining system, which I don't know if it's still available or not, but I remember vividly mining for different types of minerals that helped me upgrade my tools. Eventually, I got to a point where I had a gold shovel and I was able to dig 6 holes at a time, which it's not realistic, but in terms of the game, it's very helpful. So Harvest Moon Skytree Village, pick that up November 8th. November 11th, we are seeing a follow-up to the original Dishonored video game that came out in 2012. So this is called Dishonored 2. That's coming out for PlayStation 4, Windows PC, and Xbox One. November 15th, Assassin's Creed Ezio's Collection will be coming out. If you watched, not watched, if you listened to the show 2 weeks ago, you know I went over Assassin's Creed talk, and I am a huge Assassin's Creed fan. My favorite Assassin's Creed storyline definitely has to be every Assassin's Creed that included Ezio Auditore. And so Assassin's Creed Ezio's Collection is definitely going to be on my Christmas list this year, even though Christmas is in December and it comes out in November. So this collection of games starring Ezio Auditore will include 2009's Assassin's Creed 2, Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, and Assassin's Creed Revelations, three of my favorite video games in the Assassin's Creed series. Interesting. Also coming out on November 15th, we have Watch Dogs 2. I'm not that big of a fan of Watch Dogs, but if you are, you gotta pick that up. November 15th. And November 18th, Killing Floor 2 is a gore-filled co-op first-person shooter. Interesting, I didn't know anything about that game before telling you when it was coming out, but that's coming out November 18th. Also coming out November 18th, one of my favorite games of all time, Pokemon Sun and Moon, another addition to the Pokemon series, and it is the 20th anniversary of Pokemon. Yeah, the 20th anniversary of Pokemon this year, so we could see a lot of new things coming out of that game, a lot of great and amazing things hopefully coming out of that game. And there's a lot of speculation that this is going to be the last Pokemon game for a cool while. So hopefully they'll give us a lot of content that we can explore, a lot more intricacies within competitive play so that people don't get bored of Pokemon so easily. I know before for me, when I picked up a new Pokemon game, it was all about getting through the story and then I just trashed it after. Not trashed it, but just didn't pick it up anymore after that. Now that I've gotten a bit older and gotten more into the details of Pokemon, I'm super excited for what this new edition of Pokemon is going to hold. And November 29th, we're going to see Final Fantasy 15 come out. After 10 years in development, Final Fantasy Versus 13 will finally be released as Final Fantasy 15. And so that is going to be exciting. 10 years of development. This game, Final Fantasy 15, is highly anticipated, just like every other Final Fantasy release. There's definitely going to be some different concepts in this right here. In this picture that I'm looking at, it seems like some old characters from the Final Fantasy universe will be returning, and that just sounds interesting because they usually don't do that. They usually bring in a new set of heroes that you have to fall in love with over again, or completely hate. It's really your choice. And so that was video game news. We went over a bunch of video games that came out in November. And so we have a lot of exciting things coming out. And hopefully all of you will pick up a game. By the way, got all those release dates from Polygon.com. Thank you for the article, was really helpful. Shout out to James Elliott. Literally, he released this yesterday at 1 p.m. So thank you. If you're listening or if you ever come across this broadcast, you just gave us our first segment. So we are going to go into our first break right now. When we come back from our first break, I'm going to go over the game of the week. Continue to listen to this soundtrack. Maybe if you Shazam it or something, you can figure out what game I'm going to be talking about. Once again, you're listening to the most worthy video game talk show here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu, Combo Breaker. I'm your host, DJ 1UP, and we'll be back in just a second. Thank you.
Thank you.
Here we are, back at it again. This is DJ 1UP, and you're listening to the most worthy video game talk show here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. If you're just tuning in, you are in luck because I have not introduced the game of the week. My first segment went over video game releases in November, and just some notable releases: Call of Duty coming out November 4th. And Pokemon coming out November 18th. Those are just two of my favorite video games of all time, video game series of all time. So if you ever are thinking of picking up any video games this month of November, by the way, happy November, everyone. This month of November, pick up those two and then see me online. You won't find me, but maybe you will. Anyway, moving on, we're going to be talking about one of my favorite video games of all time today. This is an action role-playing game developed by Level 5 and published by Sony Computer Entertainment for the PlayStation 2. So, this is a really old video game. We are currently in the PlayStation, the fourth edition of the PlayStation, so there have been many, many changes in gameplay and video game history since this game has released. And its successor, the second version of this game, was released in 2003 in North America, while the first one was released in 2001. So a 2-year difference between the two games. Not that bad of a difference. Actually, probably good that they staggered the releases like that, because it gave people time to play. Role-playing games in general they take long, and this goes for any role-playing game, really. Final Fantasy, this game I'm about to introduce, and any other role-playing game you can think of. So let's go ahead and introduce this next game. I'm going to be talking about a series. In this series, it's two games. They are called Dark Cloud and Dark Cloud 2. Dark Cloud 2 is also known in Japan as Dark Chronicle, but it features the same type of gameplay that comes out of Dark Cloud 1. So you can imagine that these two are like cousins in Japan, but in America they're brothers because they have the same name. Whereas in Japan, one is called Dark Cloud and the other is called Dark Chronicle. So the music you're hearing in the background actually comes from Dark Cloud 2. Dark Cloud 2 happens to be my favorite of the two series. It's the one that I played the most. I actually never got around to finishing Dark Cloud 1, and Dark Cloud 2, I got to the final boss when I was younger and I never beat him, and to this day that frustrates me. So I might go hook up my PS2 later and try to beat him. But what I really like about this game is that every time I pick it up, I feel like I have to restart it. That's just how good the game is. Dark Cloud 2 is what I'm talking about. Every time I pick up the game, I feel like I have to go back from the beginning and restart it, because there are so many intricacies within the game, that so many details that you could follow, so many weapon paths that you could take, and it's interesting to see how whichever paths you take within this game can affect your gameplay in general. So let's just go over some basic things about Dark Cloud and Dark Chronicle. The reason they're both named differently but have the same style of play is their plots are actually very unrelated. There are some characters from Dark Cloud 1 that appear in Dark Cloud 2, but the protagonists of each game are unaware of each other, but there is a connection, and we'll get to that as we discuss the game more. So combining action role-playing with elements of city-building games, Dark Cloud tells the story of a group of adventurers who band together to fight against an evil called the Dark Genie. Now, this Dark Genie has attacked and destroyed their home villages. One thing that's constant in Dark Cloud 1 and 2 is that there is an evil entity, and he is the, he or she, I don't think they ever portray him, they portray the enemy as a she, but he is hellbent on taking over the world by destroying cities within different timelines. And so not only is this game a role-playing game and it has city-building elements, but it also has time travel elements. And so let's actually continue the description of the game so we can get more in touch with what this game is actually about. So for Dark Cloud 1, the protagonist is Tone, a boy who is given a magical stone called the Atlamelia by Simba, the Fairy King, which has the power to rebuild the destroyed lands. So the Simba I'm used to is King of the Lions. The Simba in this game is the Fairy King. So that's a bit different. And this stone, the Atlamelia, actually gives Tone the ability to recreate the cities that have been destroyed. So Dark Cloud is also played from a third-person perspective, so it's not first-person. You could see the player that you're controlling, and you could see the enemies around you. The player moves through procedurally generated dungeons, battling monsters and collecting items. On random dungeon levels, the player may have the option of entering a separate backdoor area, which contains stronger monsters and rare treasure. Although the majority of combat involves real-time hack and slash, the player will occasionally duel an enemy. In this type of battle, the player must correctly press a sequence of buttons similar to a quick time event. While in dungeons, the player has both a health meter and a thirst meter. The thirst meter gradually decreases over time, and when fully depleted, it causes the health meter to begin to decrease. To prevent the thirst meter from depleting, the player must drink water or step into one of the pools found on many dungeon levels. A major component of Dark Cloud's gameplay involves special items called Atla, which are used to rebuild the world outside the dungeons. Atla, which are present on most dungeon levels, are large spherical objects which can be retrieved by Tone only. The best way for me to describe these pieces of Atla, imagine an egg, a huge egg that looks like it came from a volcano but survived. It's an egg that's covered in magma, and usually in the middle you could see some magma oozing out. And it's really cool to see how that is actually a representation of the different items that you could build through. So you put the Atla into this machine that processes it. The Atla is sort of like a memory card. It has the data to different types of things that you can build, and different types of events that you can follow in order to affect the future timeline. And when Atla are removed from the dungeon, they transform into pieces of the world. Trees, houses, villagers. So Atla can even have human data on it. One thing that happens a lot in Dark Cloud and Dark Cloud 2 is that humans are actually wiped out as well, and using the Atla you could actually find the humans and restore them back to their homes. So that's really cool. After villagers have been placed, the player can speak to them to discover their wishes for rebuilding the village, regarding both what they need for their own house to be rebuilt completely and where they wish their house to be placed. The player's progress in terms of collecting Atla, rebuilding the village, and fulfilling the villagers' wishes are recorded as percentages. When all three reach 100%, the village is complete, although it's not necessary for the player to reach 100% in all three to be able to move on to the next set of dungeons and the next village. The player must only acquire 100% in collection and rebuilding to unlock the next village. Completing 100% of the villagers' wishes is not a requirement, although if the player does reach 100%, they are awarded a bonus item slash ability. So it was always a good idea to get a 100%. Even if it wasn't good, even if you were to continue with the story, I'm the type of video game player that likes to do all the side quests that are available before continuing with the main story. And then once I finish that main story and more side quests pop up, I'm going to do those side quests first and then continue with the main story. So that's just me, though. Some people like to do speedruns. I'm not that type of person. I like to enjoy my time with the game. Unlike most action role-playing games, instead of the characters leveling up, their weapons do. Now, weapons obtain absorption points with each kill, so once a certain number of points has been reached, the weapon can be leveled up. However, weapons wear out over time, and it is necessary to repair them in order to avoid them breaking. So this breaking idea, this idea of weapons breaking is unique to Dark Cloud 1 because they completely nixed that in Dark Cloud 2. It was so frustrating to me when I played Dark Cloud 1 and I got... Tone is a user of daggers and swords and blades. And I got one of the most rare blades that he could get and I was going to upgrade it. But I had just run out of... handheld repair powder. I think that's what it's called. Sword repair powder, it might be called. But this pretty much repairs the weapon, and if you don't do it quick enough, the weapon actually breaks and disappears from your inventory. In Dark Cloud 2, if you didn't do it enough and your weapon ran out of WP, which is weapon power, then whenever you try to hit an opponent, it just wouldn't work. In Dark Cloud 1, it just completely breaks. So that was, I think that was a good fix from Dark Cloud 2 to Dark Cloud, from Dark Cloud 1 to Dark Cloud 2, because people work so hard for these weapons, level 5. Come on now, you can't be doing that to people. But level 5 doesn't really exist anymore, so that's that. Once a certain number of points have been reached, the weapon can be leveled up. And with the exception of each character's starting weapon, a broken weapon is immediately removed from the player's inventory and cannot be retrieved or repaired. So one of the main strategies of Dark Cloud 1 was to always carry extra weapons. Sometimes you would have to save your best weapon for last. That was a real big strategy back then when I was playing. And to upgrade a weapon, the player can attach stat-increasing items, attack power, speed, ability to kill different types of monsters, elemental attributes. A single weapon can only carry a limited number of attachments, and these attachments are absorbed into the weapon when it is leveled up, freeing up space for more attachments. When a weapon reaches level 5, it can be transformed into a synth sphere, which carries 60% of the weapon's power and attributes. This sphere can then be attached to another weapon and absorbed into it when it levels up, just like a regular attachment. The character themselves can only grow stronger with the consumption of particular items, which increase their health points, water meter, and defense. Another thing that's unique to Dark Cloud 1 is the water meter. That wasn't available in Dark Cloud 2. So, I pretty much went over Dark Cloud 1 to... give you all the idea of how this game works. Although I have played Dark Cloud 1, the plot, I haven't fully discovered all of the plot yet. So rather than going over the storyline of Dark Cloud 1, I want to do that for Dark Cloud 2 because I have played Dark Cloud 2 more thoroughly. But I want to introduce to you the characters of Dark Cloud 1 and talk about how they actually influenced different characters in Dark Cloud 2. So Dark Cloud features 6 main characters, 3 melee fighters, Tone, Goro, and Ungaga, and 3 ranged fighters, Zhao, Ruby, and Osmond, each using a different weapon. Tone uses swords, Goro uses hammers, Ungaga uses staves, Zhao uses slingshots, Ruby uses magic rings, and Osmond uses guns. Each character also has a unique ability that helps them move through dungeons. For example, Zhao can jump across chasms, Goro can open certain types of doors, as well as defeat certain foes. So Dark Cloud 1 is all about the Dark Genie. That is their antagonist. And after this next break that we're about to go on, I'm going to talk about Dark Cloud 2, some of the major differences between Dark Cloud and Dark Cloud 2, and also go over a little bit of plot of Dark Cloud 2, because personally, I just think the plot is more interesting. Dark Cloud 1, the entire world gets wiped out, and you are tasked with bringing it back together. In Dark Cloud 2, they add some more substance to the story that can be seen from day one, from the first minute of play, should I say. So this has been DJ Live. You are listening to the most worthy video DJ 1UP, excuse me. You are listening to the most worthy video game talk show here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu, and we will be right back. Hello everybody, welcome to Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. This is your host DJ 1UP, and here I am to talk about video games. This is Combo Breaker, your most worthy video game talk show. And if you're just tuning in, I'm talking about a role-playing action-adventure video game. This game has It came out more than 10 years ago. Actually came out, the second version came out 13 years ago, and the first came out in 2001. And so these games are called Dark Cloud. I just gave a sort of an idea of how the gameplay works. It is an action role-playing game, but it also combines with elements of city-building games. So if you've ever played The Sims, it's sort of like that, but with swords and daggers, and you can control certain characters. So, moving on, after my last segment, I actually talked about Dark Cloud 1 very briefly. I only talked about it so I could give all of you a perspective of how the gameplay works and all of that. But in terms of plot, I think I'm going to go over Dark Cloud 2, because as I said earlier before the break, Dark Cloud 2 I played more highly extensively than Dark Cloud 1, so I think there's a lot more I can say about Dark Cloud 2. So let's get into that right now. Dark Cloud 2, released in North America February 2003. It is known as a spiritual sequel to Dark Cloud, with the game having the same basic mechanics as Dark Cloud 1. Players control two main protagonists as opposed to the six in Dark Cloud 1. Max and Monica are who you control in Dark Cloud 2, and they come from the present and the future. They must work together to stop the game's main antagonist, Emperor Griffin, who wishes to destroy the present from deep in the past. This game brings back a lot of memories. Just listen to this soundtrack. Brings back a lot of memories to me sitting in my old house just grinding on these games because I wanted to get my weapons up and find all the treasure and eventually finish the story. And the story is so compelling. It's so beautiful. It's not only do they mix city building and action adventure role playing, but they bring in discussion about time, the past, the present, the future, and how it all affects each other. And so all of the same components that exist in Dark Cloud 1 exist in Dark Cloud 2. However, in Dark Cloud 2, a major component of Dark Cloud 2 is the involvement of items called Geostones, which are used to rebuild the outside world. In the first Dark Cloud, there are these items called Atla, and so those are pretty much similar. The players in this game, players can also recruit NPCs onto their team to do various things and perform specific tasks. There was a NPC that I remember, his name is Cedric, and he actually can travel with you and repair your fighting robot. This game is insane, first off, before I continue, because I know how crazy a fighting robot sounds. But he can refuel your fighting robot. And usually fuel for a fighting robot costs about 2,000 in Dark Cloud money, which is a good amount. But this man does it for free. So just a little tip if you decide to pick up Dark Cloud. And Dark Cloud and Dark Cloud 2 are actually available on PlayStation 4's PlayStation Store. So if you are interested in picking up the games and you don't want to go searching GameStop in their used game racks or going on Amazon or anything, just download the game digitally, try it out, and I completely recommend it. Another new feature that is only found in Dark Cloud 2 is fishing. Players can catch fish, breed, and train them in their fish tank. Later in the game, players' fishes can be entered into weigh-in competitions and races. The game also features an invention system where the player takes photographs of various items and combines the photos to generate ideas for inventions. If the player has the required materials, the invention can then be created. The player can also build a customizable robot. This is the fighting robot I was talking about, called the Ride Pod, that can be used in battle, transform into various monsters by collecting badges, and plays FIDA, which is a sport that's similar to golf. So, how the game begins is actually a young girl runs to her father's room in a castle, defeats a group of creatures who attacks her, and enters the room to find a man standing over the body of her dead father. The man disappears into a ball of light. So, this was the perfect way to start a video game, because after this happens, they bring you to a whole completely different scene, and it's wonderful. So after this happens, the game cuts to Max, a young boy from the town of Palm Brinks. He attends a traveling circus, overhears a conversation between the ringmaster. The ringmaster has a really cool name. His name's Flotsam, and the town mayor, Mayor Need, in which Flotsam pressures Mayor Need to find a stone in the mines. He threatens that if the stone isn't found soon, he will tell the people about what is happening in the outside world. This would cause a panic as the people of Palm Brinks do not leave the confines of the town. Flotsam sees Max, realizing that Max's red pendant is the stone he is looking for. Max flees and determines to get out of town to find out what is going on. He also hopes to find his missing mother, who his father has told him is doing important work far away from here. Outside town, Max meets his boss, Cedric, and Need on Blackstone 1, which is the town's train. Interestingly enough, the town's train hadn't been in commission for years until the events of this game. And Cedric explains that 15 years previously, the world was destroyed by a figure known as Emperor Griffin. Palm Brinks was spared because Griffin believed a special stone was hidden in the town. Blackstone 1 is subsequently attacked by Flotsam, who is confronted and defeated by the girl from the castle. So this is where it all comes full circle, kind of, in the game. Because you're playing... You first get to play as this female who has a sword, and she's able to take out these dark hooded figures that have claws for hands. Really crazy. And then you're sent into a different cutscene where you're this boy who fights with a wrench and has a lot of angst towards his father because he believes his father is lying to him about the whereabouts of his mother. And so this female, she reveals herself to be Princess Monica Raybrandt from 100 years in the future. The train stops near Sindane, and Monica speculates that if they can restore the origin point of the great Elder Jurak, he may be able to tell them who Griffin really is. Monica explains that they must work in Max's present to rebuild the past of her time. Griffin has sent his men to Max's time to alter the origin points of Monica's time, rewriting history and eliminating anyone or anything that can oppose him. By altering Jurak's origin point, Griffin erased him from existence. So this is where it kind of gets very, very intricate in terms of time traveling and bringing the whole concept of the butterfly effect into the video game, which is, I think, why I always found this video game really interesting, because one of your main goals is to restore origin points so that you can go into the future and get the help that you need to come back into the past, use that help to find the next path that you need to take in order to once again help what's going on in the future. And so Max and Monica, really, their complete goal is to restore the world and restore, and in order to do that, they have to re-restore timelines. And so they begin to travel the world pretty much to do all of that. And they begin with key figures that would help destroy Emperor Griffin. Smart kids. So, setting about restoring Jurak's origin point, Monica explains that that the stone Max is wearing is known as an Atlamelia. His red Atlamelia allows passage forward through time. Monica's blue Atlamelia allows passage back through time. They rebuild Sindane, go to see Jurak in the future, who tells them Griffin is not from Monica's time, but from deep in the past. However, he doesn't know anything else and advises them to speak to the great sage Crest. Unfortunately, Crest's origin point has also been erased, so the party has to go to Balance Valley to restore it, and this is where they encounter Argo. Argo is an owl, and he tells them that young Crest has died, and only his apprentice Lynn remains. Max and Monica decide to rewrite Crest's history in order to avoid his death. They head to the Moon Crystal Lighthouse where he died and travel into the past, where they see Lynn and Crest attacked by the warship Death Ark, captained by Gaspard, the man who killed Monica's father. They're unable to prevent Crest's death, but Lynn, inspired by Crest's successful attempt to save the lighthouse's moon crystal, vows to become a legendary sage herself. Max and Monica go to the future to meet Madame Crest, who's actually an elderly Lynn, who tells them Griffin comes from 10,000 years in the past. The Atlamelia cannot make such a jump. And Lin says the only people capable of doing so are the scientists at the Luna Lab. So we'll continue the plot line. The synopsis overview, pretty much. We'll continue that after this last break that we're going to be taking. Right now we're at Luna Labs, and we're going to talk about Luna Lab and how that weaves into the story. But for now, I am DJ 1UP, and this is Combo Breaker, your most worthy video game talk show, here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. Please stay tuned in, and we will be right back. Hello everybody, welcome back to Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. You're currently listening to the most worthy video game talk show, Combo Breaker, and I'm your host, DJ 1UP, and we have just 10 more minutes here left in the show, and we were talking about Dark Cloud 2, one of my favorite video games of all time. I'm bringing you right now the plot line of Dark Cloud 2. In hopes that you will be inspired to pick up the game. Right now, the only way I know to pick up Dark Cloud 2 is to download it digitally on PlayStation Store. You could do that, I believe, on PlayStation 4 and PS Vita. So if you're a mobile player, pick up PS Vita and do that. Definitely a game I would recommend. If you're just tuning in, it's a mixture of role-playing action-adventure with city-building themes as well as time travel themes. So that's really cool. Earlier we were just talking about Max and Monica's adventure through time, where they were taken to Balance Valley to restore the origin point of Master Crest. Instead, they were able to affect the future by giving them Madam Crest, which is actually Master Crest's assistant, apprentice. that actually witnessed the death of Master Crest and was inspired by his death to become a great sage. And she did become a great sage and ended up taking her master's name for herself. So she pretty much tells our heroes to go to this place called Luna Labs, where they will be able to help Max and Monica jump 10,000 years into the past so that they might be able to defeat Emperor Griffin. So, the lab's origin point has also been erased. Max and Monica head to Venetia Coast to restore it. They visit the future, where the lab's head scientist, Dr. Nob, shows them plans for the Ixion, a time-traveling train that can take them 10,000 years into the past. Meanwhile, word arrives that a battle is taking place with Griffin's army. The leader of the rebels, Elena, contacts Nob, and Max recognizes her as his mother. She explains that she is from Monica's time. The rebels learned Griffin was in possession of a gold at Lemelia and was attempting to find the other two. The first was owned by Monica's father, who Gaspard assassinated, although Monica got the stone. The rebels then located the final stone 115 years in the past, owned by Gerald, Max's father. Elena traveled back in time to protect Gerald. However, they fell in love and had Max. 5 years later, Elena had to return to the future to aid the rebels. Now, isn't that just one of the saddest love stories you've ever heard? This woman, an agent from the future, was tasked to protect a man in the past. And they fell in love, had a child. And because the forces that are antagonizing both of them are getting stronger in her timeline, she has to go back and help. And with no understanding of what her son and her husband have to go through. So that is really, really one of the saddest stories in my opinion. And I can understand where Max was coming from when he had angst toward his father for not telling him where his mother is. But at the same time, you don't tell your... I believe he was 14, 15 at the time. He might have been younger. But you don't tell your 14 or 15-year-old that his mom is a time traveler. And it's just... when things don't make sense, they just don't make sense. And it's better to just keep them that way if they don't make sense. So Nob suggests the only way the rebels can withstand Griffin is by rebuilding Paznos, a massive mobile fortress. Max and Monica travel to Haymrada to begin restoring the origin point of the Gundarada workshop. As they go about rebuilding the village, they are again attacked by the Death Ark. They confront Gaspard and he tells them he is just like them, fighting for a parent. He explains that his changeling father died when he was a child, and he and his mother were run out of town. Eventually, she died too, but beforehand, she told him he must find something worth protecting. Gaspard realizes he hasn't found such a thing, and now lives only for hatred. He tells them they must defeat Griffin and asks if he can join them. However, the magic of Griffin turns him into a dragon and forces him to fight them. They reluctantly kill him. However, a child Gaspard is then shown meeting his mother in their old house, where she tells them she is proud that he found something worth protecting. Max and Monica return to the future and find Paznos has been built. Griffin's army is decimated and Luna Lab contacts them to tell them the Ixion is complete. They head 10,000 years into the past where they meet Griffin in the Moonflower Palace, and are surprised to find he is a young moon person. He steals both of their Atlamelia and changes into his real form. He reveals that he plans to call the Star of Oblivion, which will destroy all life on the planet and allow a new, better world to grow in its place. He transports his palace into the sky of Max's time and begins destroying the world. Max and Monica use the Ixion to travel to Kazarov's Stonehenge, where they trigger a chrono union to bring Paznos to Max's time. Paznos attacks the Moonflower Palace, which crashes to the ground, and Max and Monica head to the palace to face Griffin. There they meet a woman named Alexandra. She tells them she's the owner of the palace, and the moon person they fought is called Cyrus, and is only a child, an orphan whom Alexandra adopted. However, because of the evil inside him, he has forgotten that time. She asks them to restore the garden of the palace to try to remind Cyrus of his old life. They do so and confront Griffin, who experiences a memory of Cyrus lamenting how humans have nearly destroyed the world fighting for the Atlamelia, and musing that things would be better if humans didn't exist. These memories weaken Griffin, and Max and Monica defeat him. Turns back into Cyrus, and a dark element rises out of his body called the Star of Oblivion. The element reveals that it was born from Cyrus's hatred for humans and plans to rule over the destroyed planet. Max and Monica defeat the element, helped by Cyrus, who is mortally wounded. Before he dies, he remembers who he really is, Guardian of the Stars, with the power to stop the Star of Oblivion. He does so, and Alexandra appears, telling him he has done well. He thanks Max and Monica for saving him, and then dies, rejoining Alexandra in the garden. Max and Monica discuss how Griffin never really existed, but was instead an evil created in the heart of humans. At Kazarov, they say goodbye, vowing never to forget one another. Elena also says goodbye to Max as Paznos returns to its own time. And so that is the plot line of Dark Cloud 2. Of course, there are greater details within the game, so if you're interested, check that game out. It is one of the best games ever, to be honest. I still get temptations of going, and I actually still have my PlayStation 2 version, but I'm really, really thinking about buying the remastered edition on PlayStation Store. But all of these video games are coming out recently, and I just have not been able to decide which ones I want to pick up. Currently, I'm stuck between Skyrim and Battlefield 1. Skyrim Special Edition, for those that are listening who didn't know about the Special Edition, because Skyrim has been out for quite a while now. It actually came out in the last generation, and now they're releasing a new remastered edition for next generation consoles. Well, I guess we can't call them next generation consoles anymore, so newest generation consoles. And in other Dark Cloud news, there has been rumors of Dark Cloud 3 ever since Dark Cloud 2 came out, but unfortunately nothing has ever come out of Level 5. I believe Level 5 Studios does not exist anymore, and the only hope for a Dark Cloud 3 is if anyone picks up the game and says they want to develop it and work on it. But since that's not happening, we can only live with the remastered versions now. At least in the remastered versions for new gen consoles, you're able to get trophies for certain quests and all of that, so that's really cool. And yeah, that's Dark Cloud and Dark Cloud 2. If you're interested, once again, PlayStation Store to find that. And this is going to be the last few minutes of my show. If you're interested in more shows by students, tomorrow DJ Young Z is up at 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. Her story is about conspiracy theory. Her show is about conspiracy theories. Then we have the Travel Diaries tomorrow, 5 to 6 p.m. with DJ Amore. We also have Kawaii Corner from 6 to 7 p.m. with DJ Sadaharu. And we also have College Survival Guide, 7 to 8 p.m. with DJ Royal. And My Two Cents from 8 to 9 p.m. with Captain Quality. So we got a full roster of shows tomorrow starting at 4 p.m. So definitely check those out, because they are going to be great shows. This was DJ 1UP with your most worthy video game talk show here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. Hope you all had fun. Hope you all tune in next week, same time, Tuesday, 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. I love you all, and have a great rest of your night, day, depending on where you are. Goodbye.